Please, would you turn to Matthew chapter 21, verse 28 to 32. This is another one of these amazing parables that our Lord told. And this one is another vineyard parable, which is based on a very familiar biblical picture that Israel had from the book of Isaiah. And here then, there is a man with two sons, and there is an interesting decision that they need to make. All right, verse 28. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, Likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. Jesus saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that publicans and harlots go into the kingdom before you, scribes and Pharisees. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans, these were public officers, corrupt tax collectors, and harlots, believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we pray that you'd open your word to us tonight, dear Father. Help us to see the importance of being involved in your vineyard. Help us, Lord, to see where we really are in our lives and our commitment in your will and in your service. And we pray, dear Lord, that you'd guide and direct in the message tonight. By your Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, we heard a beautiful message about abiding in the vine, and the vineyard was introduced to us in a beautiful way. And this is the setting, a vineyard parable. It's reminiscent of the beautiful vineyard parable that we see in Isaiah, and we'll be referring to that a little bit later. But here, by way of introduction, thinking about what is a parable, these beautiful stories that our Lord told. A parable is a narrative of imagined events used to illustrate a moral or spiritual lesson, to explain a deep spiritual truth or reality by placing an earthly occurrence in parallel, that drawing a comparison so one may see a deeper truth. And there are a few comparisons in this little parable. Two sons, one is compared to the other, and we can learn a truth about the Lord and about his will, and in particular, a truth about repentance is found in this beautiful parable. What does repentance mean? How does repentance work? Well, those things are answered in this beautiful parable that our Lord gave, and I'm sure we can all learn more about what that means. The setting then is a vineyard, which must be worked that it might be fruitful. Got to work the vineyard, got to work the vines, so that the branches are up off the ground and beautiful fruit is formed that we can enjoy. Those involved are a certain man, a picture, a father, a picture of God the Father, two sons, two types of responses that call for workers, hasty responses with differing outcomes. John the Baptist, a righteous preacher, lifting up Christ and calling for a baptism of repentance from sin, which would result in transforming a life. Israel, with sinners hearing, reacting, responding in repentance and faith. The nation giving only lip service to the Lord, saying that they were of the Lord and that they were doing God's work, but in actual reality, they were not going in the vineyard. They were not working in the vineyard. They gave the appearances, religious leaders, giving all the appearances as hypocrites and refusing to get involved in the real work of God. John 1:12, he, being Jesus, came unto his own, being his own nation, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The Father and the Lord Jesus, who called for repentance, faith, and involvement in God's work. And that call still goes out even this night. So the background of the parable is a beautiful, what was known as a beautiful song in Israel, found in Isaiah 5:1-7. God speaks of Israel as a beautiful vineyard, which has been established on a very fruitful hill. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, it brought forth wild grapes. God dealt with this unfruitful vineyard in judgment. And now, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down, and I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold, oppression; for righteousness, behold, a cry. This was the poor condition of Israel when John the Baptist began his work in the wilderness, preaching a message of repentance. John called the nation to repentance and challenged them to prepare their hearts for Jesus coming and involvement in his vineyard. No, this prophecy of Isaiah was a long-reaching prophecy. The people of God were told through the prophet Isaiah that their nation was going to be torn apart and that it would become like a wilderness. In 660 BC, the Babylonian captivity took place and they came in and invaded Israel and desecrated Israel and pulled it down to the ground. And for hundreds and hundreds of years, that was the condition and state of Israel. The fulfillment of this prophecy in the land of Israel was seen. Make up to 1947. With the Balfour Declaration, when Lord Balfour declared that this was a nation and that its boundaries should be recognised. But up until that time, it was absolutely desecrated. The beautiful valleys and the lovely plains and so on were just nothing but briars and brambles, and there were no trees, and the rainfall, as it says, was low. And that's been that way up until the modern era, and it will be trodden underfoot of the Gentiles until the end of the tribulation. The poor condition of Israel. I knew a farming family in the mid-north of South Australia that had learnt how to propagate gum trees, eucalypt, and how to plant them in the watercourses and so forth. And the Jews sent delegations of people from the Ag Department in Israel to learn how to propagate those trees and to get trees back into the plains to help them get things re-established. That's the modern times. But you see, God's judgment was upon them because they had turned away from the living God. and turned away to idols, and God had judged them and torn things down, and the city and the country was in a bad way. John the Baptist came in the wilderness preaching a message of repentance. He was out at Jordan preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." John then was a man of God, a prophet sent from the Lord. But he was not recognized by the religious leaders. They did not listen to his message. They did not repent. And when we come to our text here, we find that there are those that did repent. And generally, those that repented were called publicans and harlots in verse number 32. They were not very nice people. They were living lives that were not pleasing to God, very sinful lives. And they heard John preaching and they repented of their sins. And they went to the River Jordan for a baptism of repentance in preparation for the Lord Jesus and his coming. What think ye? A certain man had two sons. Now the Lord calls upon us to think about these parables. And I was thinking about it the other day, and I was thinking, you know, in our witnessing and outreach, maybe we need to develop some parables that we use, or take some of these biblical ones and use them on the hearers that we might communicate and get them thinking about the message of the Lord Jesus. What think ye? He spoke to his opposition here, the scribes and Pharisees and religious leaders that were against him and were plotting eventually, not very long after this, to kill him and to get rid of him and so forth. But the Lord Jesus withstood them and he challenged them through this. What think ye? A certain man had two sons. Now, I don't know about you, but I like stories about families, don't you? When somebody tells me that they've got two sons, I'm thinking now, wait a minute, what are they like? I come from a family where there were two sons. There was Big Bro, he called him Big Brother, you know. He was like this, he was a big, tall guy, wanted to be Mr. Australia at one stage. And my big brother, they still call him big brother even now, you know. And then there was my sister, and then there was me. There was my brother, me, and then the sister, number three. So it's interesting as you think about families and people. And sons are not all alike. Amen? They're quite different sometimes, and with parents rearing children, they need to understand and identify the differences and not try and make them all the same. Well, he had two sons. Came to the first and said, "Son, go work in my vineyard. Go work today in my vineyard. Son, there's work to be done today." There was an urgency in this. So the Lord calls his hearers, you and I, to think about this parable. Those who refused to give they refused to give him the response of their heart. So it is these two guys then, two brothers, the one saying that I will not go, and the other one saying that I will go. Those who refused but give appearance of involvement, all talk, outward show. This type fails to give their heart and refuses to get involved in the real work. And there are a lot of Christians, so-called Christians like this these days, who say that they are the Lord's, who say that they are wanting to do God's work, but in actual fact are not. So these ones then that heard John preach had to make a decision. According to this parable, Jesus jumps over to the picture of John preaching. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leather girdle about his loins. He was a man's man. No sissy was John the Baptist. And his meat was locusts and wild honey. How many of you have been eating that lately? You're a good Baptist, you're eating locusts and wild honey, you're going to be strong. Amen, Zane, you know, you're going to get... If you want to be like John the Baptist, you really got to get serious about it then. But anyway, John was out there in the wilderness. He was a rugged man, used to the rugges of the bush. And out there, he challenged people that came to hear him. He preached out there a preaching of repentance. Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance, he said, and called them to repent of their wicked ways and to turn to the Lord. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth forth not fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but there cometh one that is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. John even baptized the Lord Jesus, though he was not a sinner and did not need a sinner's baptism. He was baptized in order to identify with us in our need. This is where Jesus' ministry began, as he identified with our sins and did the Father's will. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan under John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? Jesus answering and said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened. It was a baptism by immersion. Jesus went under the water. He came up out of the water. Lo, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The work in the broken down vineyard begun with John, the forerunner of the Lord. The work of the Lord began as the Father called his sons to be involved in the vineyard of the Lord. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe. Jesus was particularly challenging the religionists who gave the appearances but failed to get involved. The scribes and Pharisees both refused John's message and would not reconsider, even when they saw a wonderful work among notable sinners whose lives were being transformed and who later followed Christ. They saw what the Lord was doing through John, and notable sinners were going out there and repenting, confessing their sin, turning away from their sin, receiving the message of John. And God was blessing that ministry, and hearts and lives were being changed. This is how the Lord changes people. When there is repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, when there is a recognition of sin and the darkness and horrible nature of sin, and that sin is damning and comes between us and God, And when there is a turning away from that sin and a turning to the Lord Jesus Christ, a repentance. Jesus upbraided these scribes and Pharisees, these religionists, because when they saw what God was doing to these notable sinners, they did not repent afterward. They did not change and receive the Lord in their life and the will of God. Jesus was particularly challenging the religionists who gave the appearance but failed to get involved. The scribes and Pharisees both refused John's message and would not reconsider, even though they saw the wonderful work among the notable sinners. You know, that is so many good people, so many self-righteous people, so many religionists walk down the main drag there of Hamilton and see the T-shirt brigade out there with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they see that things are happening and that some people are receiving and responding to the message. But they themselves continue to go right by. They say they have no need of repentance and they don't want to become overboard and join the T-shirt church. Amen. But here we find then that there were those that were responding. People that were humble. People that were broken. Sinful lives that were turning to the Lord. So here is a harvest. The Lord has a harvest that he wants us to bring in. He wants us to get involved in the harvest. If you're a son and daughter of God, he wants you to be involved in the harvest. Don't make excuses. Respond to the Lord's calling. Go work today in my vineyard. Get involved in the work of the Lord. The Father wants sons who will go into the harvest today. Today. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the time. Tomorrow may never come. The Lord's return is drawing nearer. In the New Testament, the work begins with God's vineyard Israel. And that's what the Gospels are telling us about, how that they were going first to the household of Israel and taking the gospel to them and giving them the opportunity to respond and get involved. But unfortunately, they found hard-hearted people who would not respond, who would not repent, who continued in their own ways of sin and under the judgment hand of God. And worse things were yet to happen to them after our Lord ascended into the glory. We'll get to that later. The message went to those first of the house of Israel. A certain work would be done with the Jews that then expanded to the Gentiles. The prophecy of Isaiah was fulfilled as the Lord took his hand off the vineyard. In the New Testament church age, the vineyard is left. And the field of the worldwide ministry of Christ is focused upon. We read Jesus' instructions. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Go ye. It's in the command mode. It's not to be a casual, if you feel like it, sort of thing as you're going along. No, it is a command to go into all the world. To take the wonderful message of the Lord Jesus Christ. And his promise is, I will build my church. It is now up to us to evangelize the world. All believers are to fulfill their task in the work of Christ. Son, go work today in my vineyard. Today, now is the accepted time. There is an urgency about this. To get involved and to do all that we can do in the work of the Lord. And that we would be obedient sons to our Lord. We are the sons of God and we are to be involved in the harvest. The harvest field is white, ready for harvest. The challenge of this parable is worthy of our meditation. The first son, given a command, go, go. The needy task, the work, there is a work to be done. Go work today in my vineyard. The field the field is the world, and the vineyard of the Lord is the world that God wants us to work in. A hasty answer, I will not. How many times have you rebelled against the Lord and his command? How many times have you given this answer to the Spirit of God that is wooing your heart to speak to a lost soul about Christ? And you say, maybe another day. I can't talk to him, you know, he won't listen. How do you know? If you won't talk to him, how can you know whether he'll listen or not? Amen? You've got to start the conversation and get the gospel out. His hasty answer, I will not. Give no excuse, but excuses are many. The laborers are few, the harvest is great, and the excuses are many. People give excuses such as these. Well, I'm too busy. In reality, I'm too lazy. I'm not gifted, not called, not obedient, rebel-minded. It's too hard, too hard. Can't do it. Can't do it these days. People don't listen. Afterward, he repented and went to work. And aren't you glad the Lord gave him a second chance and second opportunity? He heard the challenge in the first. He wouldn't go then. God continued to work on his heart. And he said, Lord, I'll go. I'll go. And he went and did the work of the Lord. This is wonderful, isn't it? Thank God for people that are willing to respond to the call of the Lord to go into the work even today. Thank God for those that go to the far-flung places. Thank God for those that are willing to hazard their life for the gospel's sake. Thank God for those that are working even in the vineyard of the Lord Israel, which is a very hard field. The second son. The father came to the second son. So he spoke to the second son. And he answered and said, and he came to the second in verse 30. And said, likewise. And he answered, lo, sir, I go, sir, and went not. I wonder if you were the father, would you be able to see through this? Oh, yes, I'm going out to work in the vineyard. Oh, yes. Yes, your majesty. Yes, your honour. Oh, yes, father. I'm going out. Didn't go out at all. His actions showed that he followed his own hidden agenda and he went not. No genuine repentance followed either this harsh decision. He continued to go in his own way and would not work in the Father's vineyard. What a foolish son! What a foolish son! A beautiful vineyard the Father had planted and made, and all of the beautiful fruits. Why, I could imagine picking grapes is a great job, you know. Yes, you'd enjoy a few along the way, no doubt. When we were kids, we played in a creek bed that ran along next to a beautiful vineyard. And we used to look across into that vineyard and think, wow, what a beautiful vineyard, what beautiful fruit were growing there. And P.C. Weston was looking after that beautiful vineyard. Young Simeon's father and grandfather planted the vineyard, and for years they ran and owned that vineyard. Gradually they were wise, they sold it off and made great money and sold it to a school. So here was a challenge then, a challenge to get involved. Now the challenge here was to get involved in God's work. I'm giving you between the lines, you can read the notes. But here the challenge was to get into this work. It's a great work. It's a wonderful work. It's a worldwide work, and it's a work that touches all sorts of people, from the greatest to the smallest. Needy folk that need the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are harvest fields of the world beyond this place. There are places in the world where the gospel is flourishing, where people are responding. Thank God for that and those that are involved with that are having a great time. It's a joy to serve the Lord and to get involved. There is rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. It's a good time seeking souls and testifying for the Lord. This miserable son did not want to get involved. For one reason or another, he did not want to be. Oh, he had all the words. Sounded good. There is a warning on the use of words in the scripture. Give an honest answer. Do not use your words to deceive. In 2 Corinthians 1:17, when I therefore was thus minded, this is the Apostle Paul, did I use lightness or things that I purpose? Do I purpose according to the flesh? That with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay. That your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Yes or no. Don't linger in between. Don't fake it. Don't fake it. Don't say one thing and do another. Be a surprise to the Lord and others when you get involved. You'll be called to give an account of every word. It's amazing that when it comes to the work of God, people feel okay about misleading others about their Christian service. Isn't it amazing? Now in this area, people are quite happy to fake it and to give a false impression of their involvement. The second son gave a formal answer that came from the head and not the heart. He had all the paperwork in order, all the ducks in a row, as a manner of speaking. But all was for show. All was for show. Formalism and manners were in place. How nice he appeared. Oh, yes, Dad. Oh, yes. Oh, get involved. And then he didn't get involved. He was hypocritical. He wanted the fruit but not the work. No. Many believers say, why is the church not growing? Where is the fruit? They do not realize or accept that they need to be fruit bearers and bearers and be involved in the work. When God's children refuse to work, no fruit comes. If they fail to accept Christ and sound doctrine, only wild grapes will result. Why do people hold back and not give themselves fully to the Lord? He loved us. He gave himself for us that we might be his servants. So Jesus then begins to explain and talk more of this parable to his opposition, to those that were listening. He answered and said, I will not, but afterward he repented and went. That's the first son. The second son said, I go, but then did not. Whether of the twain did the will of the Father? Jesus asked the question, which of these two did the will of the Father? Now remember, he's asking the opposition here. He's asking these scribes and Pharisees who were not responding, who did not believe that John's ministry was that of God and that the Lord Jesus was the Messiah, who refused to hear, who refused to listen. So he gives them this parable, these two sons, and one went and the other didn't. Which two did the right thing? Which two did the right thing? This is an interesting question. And some of the parables are like this. It's almost a rhetorical question that corners the scribes and Pharisees. Which one of these two? In other words, he's saying, scribes and Pharisees, which one of these? The sinners that got repented and baptized and followed the Lord? Which one of these two sons did the right thing? Or the one that said, oh yeah, and did nothing? Which one did the right thing? The scribes and Pharisees began to realize that they were talking about themselves when they answered. When they answered this, they were indicting themselves. It was a judicial answer that they were giving of judging themselves and cornering themselves. And this is an amazing method that the Lord used as he spoke to them. And he cornered them. Whether the twain did the will of his father? Which one of these two boys is in the will of God? Are the scribes and Pharisees in the will of God, or are these dear publicans and harlots who confess their sin and repent of their sin? Which one of these two are doing the will of God? And here then the scribes and Pharisees were angry. They realized he was talking about them and that they were indeed under judgment. And the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables. They perceived that he spake of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude because they took him for a prophet. The people now were responding to the Lord, and they could see that he had a powerful prophetic ministry here. And these scribes and Pharisees went to their meetings and decided eventually to get rid of him. But at this time they couldn't do a thing because the people were seeking to follow the Lord. John the Baptist's ministry was having an impact. The publicans and sinners did not respond at first, but after reconsidering the poor condition of their lives, they humbled themselves, repenting, receiving and responding to baptism. The first response that people have to hearing the gospel is one of rejection or denial. That's the first response. That was how I responded as a teenager. Oh, you know, I don't need this. And as a teenager, I put off the conviction of God and so forth, until the Lord cornered me and showed me my need as a sinner to repent and get right with God. And this is what it's all about. A beautiful picture here of repentance. Publicans and sinners did not at first respond, reconsidered their condition, the condition of their lives, and they humbled themselves, repenting and receiving and responding in baptism. Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, the publicans and the harlots of the kingdom go into the kingdom before you. Publicans and harlots go before you, you scribes and Pharisees. And so here we see God's mercy, though. Even though they were not responding, yet the opportunity was still open. These publicans and harlots go before you. You can come later. God's mercy. And the door was still open for these people. The humble ones enter the kingdom before the self-righteous hypocrites who use their religion as a cloak for their sin and their failure to get involved in God's work. There's so much of this kind of hypocrisy around. It must make the Lord sick, vomit. There's so many religious leaders, so many of these great cathedrals, and they come out there and they're phylacteries and they've got all the big garments on, and they've even got a collar, you know, on there, like. And they're supposed to be the priests and representatives of God, but they're not representatives of God. They're deceived. They're blind, leading the blind. And how wrong they are, and yet ask them to repent. Ask them to repent. The great archbishop, that was found to be in sin with the young boys of the congregation. How pathetic and how terrible that was. Did we hear a word of repentance to the public? No, thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars were spent by the corrupt church to try and cover up what really did happen, instead of them humbling themselves and repenting to the Lord, instead of them repenting of their foolishness. The Bible does not teach this kind of ministry where they're not married. In order to qualify for the ministry, you have to be the husband of one wife. Where do they get it from? The devil has got them deceived on that, and deceived on that, and they'll be deceived on other things. One thing leads to another. And how sad that is. Republicans and sinners respond before the religious hierarchy, and humble ones enter the kingdom. The self-righteous hypocrites who use their religion as a cloak for their sin and their failure to be involved in God's work. So Jesus fully endorsed the ministry. John came in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not. But the publicans and harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward that ye might believe. You saw the miracles of John the Baptist. You did not repent. Jesus was straight down the line with them, wasn't he? He did not mess about. He did not mince words. He did not give false words to them. There are so many leaders in sport and other things. Go to church and all the rest of it. But when a young fella posts a Bible verse about what's going to happen to sinners and ungodly people, he has to go before the tribunal. And they tell him before even the tribunal it meets that your job is over and done with, done and dusted, before they even make a decision. Religious Israel refused John's message as a prophet, as a forerunner of the Messiah. They gave all the words, but they didn't show it with their lives. Their unbelief and failure to be involved in God's vineyard work continues to this day. They say they are the Father's chosen sons, but in reality they are unregenerate and have chosen to reject the Saviour and the Father's work. And what a sad situation that is. Just like this second son, all the talk but no work. All the talk but no footwork, no life to back it up. You know, it's an interesting thing that there are developments in God's vineyard in the Middle East of Israel in these days. God is working in the vineyard. Israel is beginning to respond to the vine dresser. There is a great returning to the land and the planting of the land and protection of the land. Bible prophecy is being fulfilled before their eyes. The blindness in Israel, Romans chapter, have a look at Romans chapter 11 and verse 25. The blindness that there is in Israel, the blindness that there is in Israel gives Gentiles an opportunity. Romans 11, 25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits. That blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. They're not receiving the Lord. They're not accepting Christ as Messiah. The blindness is still there in part. There have been some saved, but the blindness is still there. And in the last days, Jerusalem shall be trodden underfoot of the Gentiles. Luke 21, trodden down of the Gentiles. So what we see today is Israel still being trodden down of the Gentiles and will be until the end of the tribulation and the Lord will make a difference. What judgment has come to Israel because of their rejection? Their rejection of John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus didn't go well for them. Titus in 70 AD plundered through and destroyed so much of the land of Israel and took it, annexed it under their control. Masada was the last battle that the Jews fought against that power. And destruction came to all of them and they have fled into the different parts of the world. God has promised to do a work among his people and he is working that work. Nations are against modern Israel. God will protect his own in the day of his power. The challenge to us as believers, are you truly a son or daughter of God? Salvation brings sonship. John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. True salvation affects the heart and soul, not just the head. True salvation is preceded by repentance from sin and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the feet get busy to go and work in the vineyard. True sons are servants and as such should be harvesters. There is joy in harvesting. There is joy in soul winning. We are called and commanded to get involved in the harvest. We need to avoid those that are talkers only. It's easy to say, I go, but do nothing. We should be doers of the word and not hearers only. So far as believers are concerned, there are two types of children, obedient and disobedient. There is a lot of talk but little action. Hypocrisy abounds. People say they go, but they do not go. They do not reconsider the will of God in their lives. In his mercy and grace, he is the Lord of the second chance. Don't miss out on the opportunity to serve God in these days. Young people, it's better to go and work in the vineyard than it is to stay back and watch the vineyard rot. And get involved in the work of the Lord. Son, go work today in my vineyard. Abide in Christ, and ye shall bear much fruit. John 15:4. So it is that there is a great challenge in this verse, a great challenge in this little parable. It's a little parable with a big punch. And the challenge is for us to be real with the Saviour, to surrender our lives, to be repentant, surrender our lives fully to the Lord and do the will of God, that he might use us in this day of opportunity. Let's pray.